Hi, it's another Sunday afternoon and time once again for Wordplay. I'm Jeff Davis, your host today, and we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to go back to a reading at the Black Mountain College Museum and Art Center, an event held on June the 12th this year. It featured Glynis Redmond, Keith Flynn, and Fred Chappell. We featured Fred's reading a few weeks ago, and today we're going to listen to Glynis Redmond's performance. Here's my co-host, Sebastian Matthews, to introduce her.
According to her website, Glynis Redmond is a poet, educator, performer, and counselor rolled into one passionate soul. That's about right. I'd add storyteller, DJ, and literary goddess for many a young writer. Glynis has won numerous awards, including the Carrie McRae Literary Award in Poetry, a study fellowship from Vermont Writing Center, Vermont Studio Center, and study scholarships to the Atlantic Center for the Arts. Glynis is the 97 and 98 Southeast Regional Individual Poetry Slam champion. She has recently released her second CD, Monumental. She has published 3 chapbooks and a full-length book of poetry, Backbone, released a video of performance poetry, Mama's Magic, and an audio tape of poetry entitled Coming Forth. Glynis performs throughout the United States, England, and Italy. She shares her poetry in performances, residencies, and workshops with audiences varied as schools, juvenile detention centers, universities, coffee houses, museums, art centers, performing arts centers, and educational television. I think of Glynis and Keith as sisters and brothers in the art, as friends, co-conspirators, and maybe most importantly, as guides. Please welcome first Glynis Redmond, then Keith Flynn.
If I ain't African, someone tell my heart to stop beating like a djembe drum. If I ain't African, someone tell my hair to stop curling up like the continent it is from. If I ain't African, someone tell my mouth to stop singing a Yoruban song. Someone please speak to my hips and tell them that they're sway is all wrong. If I ain't African, someone tell my feet to stop doing an African dance. Someone please explain why every time I'm in New Orleans or Charleston, I fall into a trance. If I ain't African, how come I know the way home along the Ivory Coast? I feel it in my breast of bones. If I ain't African, how come I know things I'm not supposed to know, like slavery, the Middle Passage? I feel it deep down in my soul. If I ain't African, someone tell the African gods to stop calling on me. A Batala, a Legba, a Legwa, a Shun and Ogun, and someone please explain why I faint every time there is a full moon. If I ain't African, how come I hear Africa, Africa, Africa? Everywhere I go, I hear it in my heartbeat. I hear it high, I hear it low. If I ain't African, someone tell my soul to lose its violet flame. Someone tell the African gods to call another name. Someone take this drum beat out of my heart. Someone give my tongue a new mouth to part. Someone tell my feet to speak to my knees, to spread words to my hips, to press a message on my lips, to sing a song to my ears. If I ain't African, if I ain't African, if I ain't African, someone please tell my eyes, because if I ain't African, I ain't living, and God knows I'm not alive.
Good evening. Good evening. I said good evening. She said she's African. The reason I did that old poem that was written in 1997 is that it's its anniversary. And I just this year did the AfricanAncestry.com blood test. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it. They showed it on PBS and Oprah did it and all these African Americans did it. And I was able to find my lineage, which I thought in my lifetime I would only be research and kind of sort of know. And when this blood test came out, I said, this is important to me. And so David White, I don't know how many of you are familiar with that poet, Irish poet, one of my favorite poets, wrote The House of the Belonging. If you don't have it, you should get it. Said that the soul always knows before the intellect. And I did that poem and wrote it in Black Mountain, and I don't know if you heard me call out to the Yoruba tribe in the poem. I hadn't done any research, but in my soul, I guess I knew, because when I did the blood test, my ancestry is the Yoruba tribe from Nigeria. And so that was a happy day at the mailbox. I have been giving marching orders 15 minutes, so I'm going to now open up my cell phone and make sure that I stay on time. This poem that I'm going to read for you is a poem that is in Rivendell, and I want to thank Sebastian for publishing it. It's a poem that I definitely am haunted a lot, and I think many poets are. I'm haunted by not knowing, and this poem was written for the neighborhood I live in, Kenilworth, the slave cemetery there. And when I found the slave cemetery 10 years ago, it's very different than it is now. It's been cleaned up. But it's a place that I'm always drawn to. This poem is called Burying the Dead. In our town, out of sight, past Wyoming Street, upon the hill behind St. John's Baptist Church, lay aged bricks, rocks, and baskets of bones, where the dead are not truly dead, their silent mouths far from quiet. Speaking crow, they wrestle the blueness from night and lift sorrow from its deeply veiled sleep. Through Kenilworth runs an Indian trail, a forested hill I could call my own, but I don't. Not too far from downtown, living beneath the tangled brush, a cemetery of slaves merged with the Cherokee and their trail. Unmarked lines carrying both streams of blood that course unceasingly through my veins. Both trails have found my heart intersecting where spirit meets bone, and I have taken to walking the block, putting down both feet and prayer on both foreign and familiar ground. On this walk, I am found, I am Joyce, I am graced, I am haunted by an urgent need quite like death and birth. Call it a bitter dream I keep reliving. Try to pin it on the past and remind yourself of the passage the dead will bury their own. They haven't, so the crow flies. Pecks and calls on my forgetfulness, calls to me through shutters tilted open. I rise from my couch of restless sleep. I rise from my doing, from the mundane task of washing clothes. I rise because I cannot wash my hands of this, these spirit bodies hovering, souls littered across the land, calling to open skies, open hearts, any vessel open, as to how they have not rested in life or death, how they have not claimed this land or purchased a stone to mark their passing. Lost on a hill behind a church, in a town, in these mountains, this cry is not made up of I. It is made up of a glorious, tormented collective, a blue, black, and red we. Spirits torn into a cry so bitterly ruined of broken wings, cracked bones, and splintered dreams, screaming the woes of heavy air and the pain it takes to turn gospel into blues. On their blue-black backs, singing the harsh call to be heard, the call of crows chanting through unpleasant beaks, the unsingable to us. We, who are on earth walking, are indeed the dead in need of waking. On one side of my house is the Confederate cemetery, and on the other side is the slave cemetery, and I think that's why I am insomniac. Be careful when you open your door. Thank you.
You're listening to WPVM 103.5 LP, the Progressive Voice of the Mountains. There are a couple of events coming up this coming week that I wanted to let you know about. One is on September the 19th from 6:30 to 8:30. There will be an evening of poetry by the Traveling Bonfires, organized by Pasky Pascua and Marta at Malaprops. So do stop by. There's always an interesting scene there and some interesting poets. On Thursday, the 20th at 5:30, Women on Words, a poetry workshop for women, meets at Malaprops also. And then coming up on the 21st, there's an opening reception at the Black Mountain College Museum and Arts Center for a new show of pottery. The show is called Breaking New Ground. It's an exhibit of functional ceramics by potters who were at Black Mountain College in the 1950s, including Shoji Hamada, Karen Carnes, M.C. Richards, Bernard Leach, and many, many others. The reception is from 6 to 8. All are welcome. And it's free to members, and there's a charge of only $3 for others. So do check those events out. You know, if you enjoyed the programming on WPVM, including Wordplay, please vote for WPVM in the Mountain Express 2007 Best of Western North Carolina poll. You could also tattoo WPVM on your chest or sport one of our sleek black tees, tour town with our bumper sticker in tow. But do remember to vote for PVM in the 2007 Best of Western North Carolina Readers Poll. All ballots must be submitted online by visiting the website www.mountainx.com. Just click on the Best of WNC 2007 graphic on the right side and share the good news that's WPVM. And don't delay. The voting ends this Wednesday, the September the 19th. WPVM is your community radio station, a broadcast service of Maine, the Mountain Area Information Network, Western North Carolina's own internet service provider. So do surf on over there and make a couple of clicks. That address again is www.mountainx.com. And now let's listen to some more of Glynis Redmond performing at the Black Mountain College Museum and Art Center, June 12, 2007. Take it away, Glynis.
This next poem is another poem that I realized that I felt like what David White had said, my soul had gone before and peeped. I realized somebody, I think I was in Philadelphia, where somebody says, you know, you have a lot of bones in your poem. And you know, it's how you can be in something and not realize you're in it. And I just was like, riding home on, I think it was on 81, going, I do have a lot of bones in my poem. And that's why the first book is called Backbone, actually. Someone always gives me a poem. But this poem was written at Vermont Studio Center when I was watching a visual artist show her work, and she had this collection of bones. And the first line kind of came to me, and it's a poem for my dad. It's called Sacrum, and there was something that told me that my father wasn't going to have long on this earth, and this is the poem that I wrote, Sacrum. The doctor says disc deterioration. In other words, my father is losing his spine. My next thought is the children's song, teaching the anatomy of bones, the terrain of the body, the thigh bone connected to the hip bone connected to the backbone connected to my next thought, which quiets my singing in one solid knowing moment. I fathom my father has been losing his spine a little all along. And if this poem was about forgiveness, if I knew where his pain began, I would take my index finger and trace it along that beginning. the Ivory Coast, the base of his head. They call this the medulla oblongata, and I would sing it into being on that Virginia plantation. Along the back of his neck, they call this the thoracic vertebrae, and I would call him out of that slavery, release the yokes and chains of his sharecropped past, and then I would chant Cherokee, Sioux, Seminole out of the chakra of his throat, and I would follow his trail of tears, leading down the curve of his back, the lumbar and sacral regions, and I would walk along the flanks of his Jim Crow cotton history, and I would stand next to him, that malnourished man-child, at the Air Force recruitment office as he spreads the poison, spiriting him away, all with the signing of his name until he is only a mystic ghost. And I would be there, calling him back from all the torn places. And I would rattle bones, and I would blow smoke into the shadow of a shadow, balance the forces of air, too harsh for one already prone to breaking. And maybe, just maybe, this signing was his one holy act, bench pressing the family and the whole of his past beyond any weight he had ever lifted before. Maybe this was the beginning of bones breaking, but he picked them up anyway. His shape skeletal and bare, he configured himself into the shape of leaving, an internal dowsing rod, a compass pointing magnetic north, anything leading away to take him from before. A drought of rain is severe. A drought of marrow spells devastation. If my weight could hold it, I would lift him to a tender liquid light like the others, who looked on him from his youth and called him Sunny Boy. He, a good-looking, slender man with hope in his eyes, and I'd spy that slim child placing his polished boot on promise. And I would pour into him his calcium-spent self where ivory keys could not fortify, taking him down dark alleys into pool shark dens, no matter how many gigs played in clubs inhabited. The spirit knows bones need calcium and lots of light. Tender fingers slid over keys, eventually leading to bars, leading to his favorite amber liquids of Jack Daniels and Jim Beam. Maybe he tried to be present, both there and here. Maybe the slave in him revolted, the Indian in him rose up, the pianist in him began to play tunes, but he is sitting now, sitting with the weight of all that soldiering, which he believed to be a pocket guide for better living, marching him through straight rows of cotton, corn, and tobacco, into pouring stiff drinks of old granddad, royal-crowned, and handed him a case of Black Label, taught him to raise hell all night as long as he was straight and squared away in formation by 0600 hours in the morning. Our nights and weekends, his second job. Our house on alert with the sergeant in command with a liquid amber out of control. He patrolled the halls of all our living on midnight shifts, cloaked with the wrath of Jack and two types of Jim. With battle fatigue, we addressed the casualties of war. A son, visibly wounded in the fight, wearing scars to school like a uniform, no second grader should ever have to bear. The teacher reports to the base commander. The base commander barks orders to study war no more at home or be thrown out of the service. What they caught and taught, they didn't treat. Fist turned instead to verbal missiles, launching into our deepest centers. Yet we carried on like soldiers on a tour of duty with a sense of purpose, standard operating procedure, survival our greatest mission. We were hemmed in by the heavy-handed creases, lost in the spit shine of shoes and brass, living between stiff finger salutes, standing at attention for inspection. Our straight backs gave away to the gradual wear of tear of never being at ease. Our familial bones breaking, a slow deossification. Our foundation would begin to mend where it never took hold. Our sergeant in charge leading the way, a crooked man walking with wings. My last poem is a poem called Back that I wrote about a month ago. Same theme, living in these western North Carolina mountains, feeling like this is my home as well, but Greenville, as it calls, not too far from here. And my ancestors tend to be wherever, I don't know, it doesn't matter whether I'm in Bristol, Bristol, Tennessee, but I meant Bristol, England, or Liverpool, or Haiti, or wherever, there just seems to be this thread that keeps coming back, and this poem is in honor of that. It is backs, not shoulders upon which I stand, humped, curved, muscle strengthening my own. It is backs, not shoulders that have carried me here and will carry me to where I am going. My feet and spirit fueled by those who tilled soil but never owned a plot. My power inspired by the promised land, their backs upon which I stand. These backs stooped and curved, carved out of Carolina red clay, woven from the fabric of the motherland, the red, black, and green weaving of the kente, the swift sway of sweet grass, the quilted comfort of the cast-offs, the patchwork of homemade strength, carving, picking, lifting somebody else's life into a better being. Every cotton field I pass, I am thrown back to the backs bowing and bending on the land, ending with a weighted 50-pound sack, and I am concerned with this collective weight and how misery stacks up and how it sickles and weakens backs. I have seen the crooked and the stooped, and I know what curves a back like that. Middle Passage ripples, antebellum chains, broken sharecrop promises, and it has stilled the spirit of my people, their Nubian souls spiriting me, those draped in burlap sacks across their back. Turn the cotton seed to kente cloth, braided sweet grass into a living, enable drum tongues to speak, their rhythm shaped the earth. Though moss-haunted swamps and creek beds call me, my mouth wells the Atlantic Ocean, and I feel a blood that never ran beneath my skin, and a sweat, and I sweat underneath ancient sun rays. The ocean voyage, large loads carry me, but it's my ancestors' voices that don't just call but carry. My heartbeat leaps, and my backbone is lengthened, strengthened, and powered by their backs. My stature heightened by their step up. My view clarified and focused, where I am at least tall enough to know who fortified my backbone. So I don't ask who's got my back. I already know their story, and it must be told.
We've been listening to Glynis Redmond reading at the Black Mountain College Museum and Art Center in downtown Asheville, a performance from June the 12th, 2007. If you know Glynis's work, you know it's always pretty amazing, and that was kind of really a greatest hits kind of reading for her. Some of that work goes back to her very earliest days as a poet. Always remarkable to hear Glynis read. She's such a wonderful performer of her own work, which, of course, not all poets are. The musical centerpiece today was Jeffrey Keyser's Horsewoman from his album Falling Up, the title tune of which also provides us with our theme. Well, that's Wordplay for this week. Wordplay is rebroadcast on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 o'clock a.m. and is available 24/7 as a stream or podcast from the station website, wpvm.org. Sometimes you can find more information about our guest and programs at our blog, wordplayradio.blogspot.com. So tune in, and let's get together next week.